And my word of welcome to you on this Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're here. We want to welcome you. We want to also welcome those worshiping with us online. Now, we're in a series, and we're going to talk about what that's been talked about before, also what's coming up. Today, I want to talk about being devoted and being closer to God. You know, I tell you a lot of times that I get tested on what I preach. This week was an unusually busy week. It was an unusually difficult week. I think this sermon will be meaningful to you. It was meaningful to me, and I pray it'll be a blessing to you as well. Do you ever feel disappointed about where you are in life? Do you ever think, by this time in life, I thought I'd be doing something more, something different, something significant? And even when you get to where you thought you wanted to be, you still feel like your life is a little bit empty. You're aware that life seems to be passing you by. Do you ever wonder, is this all there is? Is there something more? Spoiler alert, there is something more. We're in a message series called Prepare for Tomorrow. We're talking about the power of our decisions because the quality of your decisions determine the quality of your life. We make decisions, and our decisions make us. But the problem is that sometimes we're not very good decision makers. So we're going to pre-decide, we said, to make important decisions. Instead of waiting until we're in the heat of the moment, when we're tired and vulnerable and worn out, when we're emotional, we're going to pre-decide ahead of time about a specific action. When faced with a certain situation, I have pre-decided to take a very specific action. We're not waiting to decide in the moment, but we, with the wisdom of God, are going to decide ahead of time about specific areas. Now, the first week we talked about being ready. Last week we talked about being consistent. Today we're talking about being devoted. In the following weeks, we're going to talk about being generous, being faithful, and being a finisher. Years ago, I read a book by Steve Farrar called Finishing Strong. It's a great book. It's about people in the Bible who finished strong and some who did not. I recommend it to you, but all of us want to finish strong. Today, I want to talk about our devotion with God's help to be devoted as faithful followers of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We seek first God. We're devoted to His kingdom, and He brings fulfillment into our lives. We seek first the one who matters most as devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, that raises a question. What does it mean to be devoted to Jesus? I want to give you some context from the book of Acts. Because when you read the book of Acts, you read about the first century believers. After Jesus had given His life on the cross, after He'd been raised from the dead, after He ascended to heaven, was seated at the right hand of God the Father, He said, "Before I leave, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor." And so when that happened, God sent a mighty rushing wind and filled the place there with those believers with the Holy Spirit. What did those first century followers of Jesus devote their lives to? The book of Acts tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They devoted themselves to the things that made them closer to God, seeking Jesus first, His kingdom, His righteousness, and then everything else would be added. And then the non-believers looked on, and they saw these first century believers. And they said, "These people are full of love, and they're involved in miracles, and it's born out of seeking first the one who matters most." They were devoted to the Word, to prayer, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Now, the Greek word for devoted, it means it's in the imperfect tense. So what it means is it's an ongoing devotional. It's not a one and done kind of a thing. Well, I was devoted, but that's over. It's ongoing. It's continual devotion. It could accurately be translated, we continually devoted ourselves. In other words, these disciples were single-minded in an ongoing pursuit of Jesus. But pause for a moment and realize that this scripture was written to those first century believers. If it were written today, describing modern Christians today, cultural people today, casual people today, what would it say? I kind of believe in God. You won't see it in my life. You won't hear about it. I may go to church every now and then. Morally, I'll try to be a good person. The modern Christian version might read, they devoted themselves to themselves. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. And these are the people that we like to be around, who just have normal, everyday desires. They just want to be liked and comfortable and popular. It's all normal stuff. I just want to grow up and finish school and get a good job. I want to marry well. I want to have a nice house. I want to travel the world. And when I die, I want to go to heaven. I'm a modern-day Christian. Now, did you know that we spend about one-third of our time sleeping? We also spend about one-third of our time either at work or at school. Did you know that the average social media user spends 17 hours a week on social media? And then you've got all the other stuff you have to do, like taking your kids everywhere, putting gas in your car, going to the grocery store, buying groceries, cooking something, cleaning up after yourself, paying your taxes, paying your bills, mowing the yard, working out at the gym. 9, 10 weeks ago, I had my hip replaced, but that's all behind me. Laura and I are back in the gym now. We're working out. I go to the gym. There are all these people from Woodlawn there. I run into them going and coming. I see them everywhere. I've decided I'm going to start preaching at the gym. Get a big crowd gathered together, get them interested, take up an offering right away. That's what I want to do. But you know, we've got all these things we're doing. We want to be with our friends, don't we? We want to watch the next series on TV, and sometimes we take as much time picking out that series as we would just watching the series. Then we've got all that other stuff going on. And then maybe at the end, we've got one little hour a week left for God. Now, if you invest 1 hour a week in anything, you won't be very good at it. You won't improve significantly. If you exercise 1 hour a week and eat whatever you want to, you won't be at peak health. If you spend about 1 hour a week in the same room with your spouse, you're probably not going to have a dream marriage. If you study for 1 hour a week, you're probably not going to be a very good student and you won't graduate at the top of your class. If you're only partially devoted to God and you only spend a little time with God when it's easy or convenient, when you don't have anything else to do, then no wonder we all fall back into sin. It's no wonder we find ourselves lukewarm, wondering, is there any more to life? If we only give God what's left over, then we need to ask ourselves, are we really devoted to God? No one ever said, I was just going through my life, going with the flow, and accidentally, I became a spiritual powerhouse. I want to be devoted to Jesus. But it's never going to happen accidentally. You have to pre-decide, like those early Christians, to have a single-minded pursuit of Jesus. So how do we do that? What does it mean to pre-decide to be devoted to Jesus? I'm going to show you in John 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He was probably around a vineyard when he said that. He was always teaching with object lessons and things people could easily understand. All they had to do was look at it. Jesus said, I'm the vine. What are you? You're the branch. So here's the key. When you, the branch, are connected to Jesus, the vine, what happens? You bear spiritual fruit. Galatians 5 tells us about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're displaying those traits consistently, do you think your life is empty? No, it's not. But when you're the branch and you're connected to the vine, your life starts to be full of that which matters. There's a word that appears 11 times in this chapter. Look at it with me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless... swallowed and it went down the wrong way. Let me suggest not to do it when you're preaching. Also, if you're in camp meeting and you're preaching outdoors, don't swallow any gnats. So what is the word? Remain, that's right. And it comes from the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. It means to abide, to dwell, to live in. Now, this is not a 1 hour a week duty to God. This is fully devoted to the one who matters most. The branch needs the vine. And if you don't stay connected, then you're just a dead limb because you have no connection to the life source. And that's why we pre-decide, I will seek first the one who matters most. So your assignment is to be the branch, to stay intentionally connected. How do you do that? You pre-decide three things. First, you pre-decide a time. Now, for me, it's the first thing in the morning. When I come in my office, I shut the door and I tell the staff to leave me and I just have that time to pray. In fact, when I first moved here, one of my associate ministers was in the office next to me. I pray out loud. After about a week, he came in there one day and he said, you're in here praying, aren't you? He said, for the first few days, I thought you were on the phone. But I hear you in here talking out loud. It suddenly dawned on me what you were doing. I said, yeah, that's right. And I've done that for about 30 years. But it wasn't always that way. I went to Lake Junaluska one time to a minister's conference in North Carolina. And there was a guy there that was a minister, and his name was Dick Wills. And Dick Wills had written a book, and he was sharing with us in this class, all the ministers, about his life, and he said, I was burnt out. He said, I was moving from one church to another. I was moving to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He said, I had nothing to offer those people. And he said, they were burnt out too, and they had nothing to offer me. And he said, I had a good friend, a minister friend, who went through something similar to that. His name was Wayne Cordero, and he lived out in Hawaii. And I called him, and I said, I want to come spend 2 weeks with you, and I want you to tell me what you did in spiritual formation, because I need to be refreshed and I need to grow closer to God. And so he went out there and he spent that time with Wayne Cordero. And Wayne Cordero said he had been through the same thing. And so what he did was he came up with this life journal. This life journal is something that he used for his prayer life. What he would do, he would, every day you would have scripture that you would read. And if you read it every day and go through it, You'll go through the whole Bible in 1 year, and I've done it for years and years and years. I've got many, many journals doing this. And so Dick Wills said he started doing that, and he started getting closer to God, and over time he was refreshed again, and he could go back to the church there at Fort Lauderdale, and he had something to offer the people there. They began to have something to offer him as together they grew closer to God. And so it's a way for me. It just helps me. I've shared it with other people. You know, if it helps you, use it. If it doesn't, don't. And so I just mention it to you. We have some. We can get some more if you'd like one. But it's an opportunity for you to read through the Bible in 1 year, to spend some time in prayer. Now, while Dick Wills was talking to us at Lake Junaluska, we were in a room full of preachers. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to do that. And I said, Lord, this room is full of preachers, and you have the wrong number. This is for somebody else. If you want to see God laugh, just tell him your plans. And so he said, no, I know who I'm talking to. I know you. I want you to do it. And so I did it. I started doing it, and I've done it ever since. Maybe for you, it's before the kids get up. You spend a little time with Jesus. Maybe it's when you drink your coffee. Maybe it's before you go to the gym. Maybe it's after you go to the gym. Maybe it's after you put the kids to bed. Wherever you do it, it's a predetermined time that you intentionally seek God. I've got a briefcase, and I have these things called books that I put in them. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. I'm an old man. I read books. I've got a Bible. It's a book. And so I take it home with me every Thursday, and I keep it at the house, and I have a special place at home. I put all those books out there, and I pray. And then when Monday comes, I bring it back to the office, and I do that every day in my office at my desk. And so it's a predetermined time, intentionally seeking God through His Word, reconnecting, and completely being committed to Him. Second, we pre-decide a place. I've told you I do that in my office at my desk. I do it at home. It's a time for me to just kneel down, maybe if I want to, use the office during that time, do it at the desk, do it at my house. You may kneel down by your bed. You may stay in bed. You may sit at the kitchen table. You may go out on your back porch. But you pre-decide to have a time and a place. And then third, you pre-decide to have a plan. The journal helped me stay on task. I knew what to read every day. I didn't have to try to figure out what I was going to read. I would go through it. I had these little books. Somebody gave me some books for different people that I kept. There are four of them. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. And these little books by Stormy O'Mardian, they would give you a little devotional every day to pray for these different people. So I started calling my wife and leaving her a voicemail, and I would just read that prayer to her. And I would call my kids, and I would read that to them when they were growing up. It was just designed for your children. If I had to get up real early in the morning, I had to travel out of town or something, you know, I didn't get a chance to do it, but I would do it sometime that day. My children would send me a text. Hey, where's my prayer? They were watching. They were listening. They were reading it. And so I said, you'll get it. You'll get it today. So it helped me be accountable. And I would share it with them as they were growing up. Pre-decide a place and a time. Have whatever devotional material you want to have. Have the Bible there. Use that prayer journal. Whatever works for you, and do it. A place, a time, and a plan. So I don't give God what's left over, but I seek first the one who matters most. And then you just start walking with God. Throughout the day, you're talking to God, listening to God, aligning your heart with God, your posture, your mindset, and your mood, all seek Jesus first. What happens when He starts to make you nice? He starts to make you loving. He starts to make you generous. You notice all of a sudden that you have joy. He starts to give you words to say. You don't give Him the time that you have left over. Instead, God is your life. He's not just a part of your life. He's everything. He's your full devotion. Who matters most? Talking to Jesus, listening to God. He starts to impact your work life. He starts to give you wisdom and words to say to people. He gives you a heart to encourage other people. He corrects you. He guides your steps. He leads your way. You're a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, aligning your will and heart to Him. And you pre-decide that you're going to do that daily. When I went to my 50th high school reunion last year, it was so sad to me because most of my guy friends had died. They weren't there. I couldn't visit with them and talk to them. I saw some of them. The only ones left were my old girlfriends who were there. And I had a lot of old girlfriends because I could always get that first date. But it was the second date I struggled with, okay? And all those old girlfriends came to me and they met Laura and they just fell in love with Laura. And they started talking and they said, if you lived here, we could be friends. We could hang out together. They didn't make that offer to me. And so they had a great time visiting together with one another. But you know, you begin to think about when people die that you're close to, what really matters in life? What's going to outlast our time on earth? If I devote my life to something, I don't want to just devote it to being self-centered and self-seeking and comfortable. I want to stay connected to the vine, sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to make a difference in someone's life in a moment's notice. I want to seek first the one who matters most. I want to pre-decide never to accidentally try to live a devoted life to Jesus. So what do? We pre-decide. He doesn't get what's last. He doesn't get what's easy. He doesn't get what's convenient. He doesn't get my attention only when there's nothing else going on. I have pre-decided a time. I have pre-decided a place. I've got a plan. I have predetermined to seek first the one who matters most. And let me tell you something. When you do this, you're going to face resistance. There are going to be distractions. You're going to come up with all kinds of reasons to quit. Well, I've missed it this day. I just won't do it anymore. No, just start over. Because if it's not important, you'll find an excuse. But if it is important, you'll find a way. Because Jesus is the vine, and you are the branch. And the branch needs the vine. It's not optional. So in conclusion, I'm going to share with you a quote that I read this week that was very meaningful to me, and I pray it will be meaningful to you. In his best-selling book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer writes a chapter titled, The Reward for Following Jesus is Jesus. In it, Comer says, in our fast-paced, productivity-obsessed, digitally distracted culture that is endlessly chasing the life script of up and to the right, time is money and money is God. So the idea of slowing down, coming to quiet, dealing with a myriad of distractions within and without, and just letting God love you into a person of love sounds like a waste of time. In fact, Professor James Houston once called prayer wasting time on God. He didn't mean that prayer was a waste. He meant in a culture like ours, prayer can feel like a waste of time. But to those who have discovered the possibility of life with God, it is the pinnacle of human existence. Once you've tasted a prayer, true prayer, you realize that deepening your surrender to and honing your attention on God are literally the most important things in the world. Prayer, that is being with Jesus, is our primary portal to joy. It's the best part, not just of each day, but of life. You need to stay connected to the vine, to have love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus isn't part of life. He is our life. We want to invest our life in something that matters. So we pre-decide, I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. I'm going to seek first the one who matters most, because I am a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So, Father, with your help, we pre-decide to be devoted to Jesus. Choose a time and a place and to have a plan to stay connected to the vine. God, empower us to pre-decide, to be intentional, not to be accidental, coincidental in our relationship with you, but intentionally seeking you first. Heavenly Father, we seek you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Jesus, save us. Help us to make you first in our lives. We want to be your disciples. We want to be your followers, completely devoted to you. Jesus, I'm the branch and you're the vine. Help me stay connected to you so I can show your love to others in all I do. And we thank you for new life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children say it. Today our prayer team is going to be here to pray for you. If they'll come up and just let you see them, eyeball them real quick. Let you look at them, and then you'll know who to go to in a minute. As they come up here so you can see who they are, I want to invite you to take any prayer concern you have and pray with them. The Bible says where two or three gather together in my name, there I will be also. You can seal the deal right here today with that person and God, and you can leave whatever burden you're carrying here today. If this message spoke to you, if you're convicted, if you're like I was, and you think, I need to do something about my prayer life, this is a time to do something about it, because this is the first step to pray. But there may be a million other things that you could think about to pray about today. Whatever it is, take advantage of the opportunity that's before you and pray. And just ask God to help you, because he will. Now, they're going to make their way to the back door. They'll be in front of the garage door. So you don't even have to come up here and be in front of the big lights. You can be in the back, hiding out back there when you go back to pray with them. And every week, we get a lot of prayer concerns. Every Thursday, I get a long list. All the ministers on staff get a long list of people. And we pray. We pray for you. And so I want to encourage you. Today, you may need to pray for yourself, for a family member or a friend, maybe a child, maybe a grandchild, maybe a parent, whatever. Today, take advantage of this time you've been given. Now's the time. Go ahead and do that. We'll stand together and sing.